are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is happening and welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Tuesday, February 5th. And what a difference a day makes. I know it's the oldest cliche in the world, but that's what I get for you today. So this is your boy, Matt Shook, a sports writer here in the Motor City covering the NBA for the Detroit News and the Associated Press. Pistons fan and follower my whole life, just like you guys, and a sports newspaper reporter across this great country for over a decade as well. Thanks for the listen. Thanks for spreading the word. Huge numbers during trade deadline week, as you guys are very interested in what's going on around the league and also with the Detroit Pistons. And we'll get into some of that stuff throughout the week. Obviously, the Mike Conley rumors fast and furious, but we got some games to cover and talk about on today's show. For the most part, we're going to run down the details from Monday's biggest victory of the season, all sorts of stats for you. And we're going to talk about what the biggest differences in this game was from Saturday. It's obviously pretty stark for the most part, but I went off on a few individuals on the Pistons on Monday's show. Pretty much all of them responded. So you know I'm basically taking credit for this game, but we're also going to look ahead to Tuesday at Madison Square Garden, the second of a back-to-back for the Pistons against the lowly New York Knicks. But give me a follow on Twitter at Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. Also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account, and check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons-MattShook as well. But Monday night at home, Little Caesars Arena, downtown Detroit, the Pistons picked up the win, 129-103. A 26-point margin of victory, the largest of the season for the Pistons, the most points in a regulation game this season. The only time the Pistons scored more than 129 was 133 in the first week of the season in overtime against the Philadelphia 76ers. They had less that game in regulation. The first game of the season that the Pistons won by 20 points or more with the 26-point margin. And now there's only one team left in the NBA that doesn't have a 20-point margin victory, and that's tonight's opponent, the New York Knicks. The Pistons move up to 23-29 on the season, six games below 500, now just 1.5 games out of the sad sack playoffs in the Eastern Conference, and just 3.5 games out behind Brooklyn for the sixth spot in the East. Miami, by the way, is at Portland tonight. And if the odds hold and the Pistons take care of business in Gotham, they should be a half game out of the playoffs tonight. And that is the first, this game in Portland for the Heat tonight, is the first of a brutal six straight road game schedule for the Heat. That's an absolute gauntlet. And they're probably going to go 1-5 or 2-4 on this trip. So the Pistons really, in all likelihood, should be back in the top eight, back in the playoffs very soon. Reason to get excited? I don't know. It depends on where you kind of stand with the state of this team and the state of this season. But for Monday, very good game, obviously, for the Detroit Pistons, who stepped up in a situation where they went up against a winnable team with the injuries that the Nuggets had. But Andre Drummond responded, a season-high 17 points for him and 12 rebounds in just 25 minutes of play. Stanley Johnson had 21 points, 18 for Langston Galloway, 17 for Blake Griffin, 14 apiece for Luke Kennard and Reggie Jackson, and 11 points for Reggie Bullock as well. 20 points led the way for the Denver Nuggets. Trey Lyles off the bench. He was traded for Donovan Mitchell on draft night, if you don't remember that. The pick after the Pistons was actually made by the Denver Nuggets before Donovan Mitchell was traded to the Utah Jazz. 18 points for Monte Morris, a good feel-good story from Flint, Michigan. He was in Flint on Sunday with a couple of teammates, handing out some water, taking pictures, signing autographs up in Flint Town. He had a couple hundred people, friends and family there to rally with him after the game. Nice sight to see a lot of the Flint folks down in Wayne County. But more about the Pistons, man. 54.5% from the field overall, the best of the season there. Only the second time all season that the Pistons have shot over 50% from the field as a team, 43.2% from three, which is tied for the fourth best output of the season from deep, 16 of 37 reaches that 43.2%, 28 second chance points for the Pistons, the most of the season there, 20 turnovers, I guess, would be the black cloud if you're looking for one there. And also some hot shooting from the Denver Nuggets early, 58% in the first quarter and 66.7%, knocking down 4 out of 6 of their threes early. They led 36-34 after the first quarter, but the Pistons went ahead and outscored Denver in the final three quarters by a cumulative score of 95-67. Detroit basketball getting it done for one night. Now, Denver was missing Gary Harris, Jamal Murray, and Paul Millsap. Very clearly the second, third, and fourth best players on their team by a wide margin, probably a wide margin below their best player, Nikola Jokic, this season anyway, and a wide margin above their fifth best player, whoever you think that is. If you're a Malik Beasley or Will Barton guy. Will Barton obviously struggled tonight, didn't step up in a role that he should have stepped up for some of these guys that were out. But, like I said, Millsap, and however you want to slice it, Millsap's probably the fourth best player on this team given the history of injuries he's had the last couple of years. And then Gary Harris and Jamal Murray, however you want to rank those guys, second and third on the team. But the Pistons continue to receive outstanding luck health-wise with opponents and really haven't had much of an injury situation with themselves. I know as fans, we know about the impact that Ish Smith had when he was out, but if your backup point guard being out for 20 games or so, probably more like 30 games, but if your backup point guard being out is the biggest thing you complain about throughout a season, then you're doing quite all right with history for injuries for the season, especially when you talk about the great health that Blake Griffin and Reggie Jackson in particular, who have had two guys who have had shaky career histories in that category indeed. Bench points for the Pistons on Monday night, 60-28, outscoring Denver. That is after the Clippers and Lou Williams whitewashed the Pistons off the bench, 80-17 on Saturday night in a game of the Pistons led by 25 points and still lost by 10. Amazingly, in case you forgot that one. More superlatives from the Pistons. They had a season-high 32 assists, although the leader for the entire team was Ish Smith with 5. So obviously a small total for a leading assist guy, but it makes it even more impressive, really, as a team that they spread it around that much. They had 4 guys with 4 assists apiece in addition to Ish Smith's 5. Not including this game, but twice this season, the Pistons have had a player reach double-digit assists this year, and that was Blake Griffin both times, and he had 11 in both of those games this season. I did a little bit of a deep dive, so I want to share some of the notes I came up with you guys this year. So the Pistons have had 2 games this season where a single player has reached double-digit in assists. Throughout the NBA, the average for every team is 10.6, so the Pistons well below that with their 2. There is still a team, by the way, that has not had a player reach 10 assists in a single game this season, and that is the Cleveland Cavaliers, who are bad. So they are 30th in this made-up category that I have of individual players reaching double-digit assists in a game. 29th on that list is the New York Knicks, who have 1 guy, Trey Burke. He did it once. And as I mentioned, Pistons with 2. They are tied with 2 other teams who also have 2. So they are essentially tied for 26th in this category. With fellow lowlights, fellow cellar dwellers of the NBA, that being the Orlando Magic and Chicago Bulls. So when you're being grouped with teams like Cleveland, the New York Knicks, the Chicago Bulls, teams basically tanking, losing on purpose, and throw Orlando in there as another dreg of the NBA, that knows that you are certainly in bad company. By the way, the team with the most double-digit assist individual players this season is the 27 for the Oklahoma City Thunder. 26 of them by Russell Westbrook, who leads the league in assists at 11.0, the only guy in the NBA who is averaging double figures in assists this season. 2nd in the NBA is Kyle Lowry. 3rd is James Harden. And also, in case you're keeping score, and I know you are, I've got all sorts of numbers to throw at you tonight, 10.9 rebounds per game for Russell Westbrook. So he is trying to average a triple-double for the 3rd straight season. He is doing it with plenty of room to spare right now for the Oklahoma City Thunder. It's just interesting that I came across the assist leaders. If you grew up like me and you read the newspaper and you check out the stat leaders, and they'll throw a bunch of point leaders and then some of the rebounding leaders, and you could check every day to see if Dennis Rodman is still leading the league. He probably is, so we'll probably check to see how many he gets. And where Isaiah Thomas ranks in the assist categories wasn't nearly up there with Magic Johnson and John Stockton, but maybe on that next level. And it's the reason that my favorite trivia question is one that I know and a lot of people don't know out there, but which former Piston leads the NBA in steals all time. Now, as off the top of my head, he might have been passed sometime in recent times, but I'm not gonna answer that for you. I'm gonna let you guys look that up yourselves. Which former Piston is the all-time leader in steals in the NBA history? One that will surprise you probably. But the Pistons in this game on Monday, to go full circle here, out-rebounded the Denver Nuggets 53-32. So go ahead and just pick your favorite stat. The Pistons dominated a team that came in on a six-game winning streak, and as much as we've dogged this team lately, we got to give them credit for getting a big victory, a much-needed one at home. The Pistons have just one game before Thursday's trade deadline. That is tonight at the New York Knicks at Madison Square Garden, and that is before the trade deadline, 3 p.m. Eastern on Thursday. All sorts of NBA rumors and news out there. Actually, kind of a slow day on Monday. The Anthony Davis saga is unfolding with the teams that he might sign with and all that good stuff, but still waiting for some more shoes to drop here as the NBA trade deadline approaches on Thursday afternoon. Certainly the Pistons might get involved in the Mike Conley sweepstakes, it sounds like, and may, if they're maybe being a little bit more prudent, sell off players like Reggie Bullock, Ish Smith, and Stanley Johnson, who are not under, well, I guess Johnson is under team control as a restricted free agent going forward, but unrestricted for Ish Smith and Reggie Bullock. The Pistons, after the trade deadline, will play on Friday at home against the Knicks on the second part of a home-and-home series, and then on Monday at home in a big one against the Washington Wizards. But up next, we're going to talk about some things that changed from Monday's game and Saturday's game, pretty much two complete sides of the coin that were completely different, and we're going to be talking about that next. But did you get a smart speaker over the holidays? If you did, tell your smart speaker to play podcast Locked On Pistons. We'll play the newest edition of the podcast for you and your family to huddle around the Amazon Alexa and say, just go ahead and say, play podcast Locked On Pistons, and we'll get that for you right away here with the Locked On Pistons podcast.
Yes, sir!
All right, a little bit later on, we're going to be talking about the New York Knicks, who are in deep tank state. I know that you haven't heard enough about the Knicks here in these last week or so, but obviously the trade deadline is coming up Thursday, 3 p.m. Eastern time. And given that that's the situation, I wanted to pass along some of the latest news and rumors as I tape this early on Tuesday morning. Now at this point, Reggie Bullock rumored to be in discussions for a trade between the Pistons and Lakers. Lakers inquiring on it, according to a writer from the Los Angeles Times. Obviously, their focus right now is on Anthony Davis trying to get that trade done before the deadline so that Boston doesn't get involved after the July 1st deadline there for the free agency to open up. It appears that the Anthony Davis and Lakers deal may not happen before Thursday's deadline, if you're reading the tea leaves there, and that Anthony Davis might stay with the Pelicans until the summer. And maybe if that's the case, and maybe that becomes more apparent for the Lakers, they can get more serious in other deals as they kind of give up on that idea for now. My idea as far as Reggie Bullock to the Lakers, and I've been a strong advocate of trading Reggie Bullock and getting whatever assets you can for him, as opposed to holding on to him in hopes of signing him going forward. We'll take a first-round pick for him, obviously the Pistons, and whatever low-level salary filler to make it work. It doesn't seem like maybe that's very extremely realistic. It's possible, but maybe not realistic. So maybe other versions of a trade could be a thing like Zvi Mykolaik, the Kansas sharpshooter who went in the second round. Maybe pair him with a second-round pick for Reggie Bullock. Or how about this one? We'll throw in addition to Reggie Bullock, we'll throw Stanley Johnson in there as an expiring asset that could help them in the playoffs. We will take back the larger contract of Lance Stephenson, who's also on an expiring. So three guys who could be off the books for both the teams this summer. And we will take back a first-round pick for next season off of your hands in exchange for Stanley Johnson and Reggie Bullock. Now, that's not necessarily likely either, because you're going to think that Los Angeles is going to want to hold on to their first-round pick and see what happens with the Anthony Davis sweepstakes maybe this summer. But that would give the Lakers an experienced shooter in Reggie Bullock and some defensive help for the playoffs in Stanley Johnson, in addition to the restricted free agent rights for Johnson to come home to L.A. and try to perform with LeBron James. Maybe that could help jumpstart his career a little bit, being home. And maybe LeBron respects how Stanley went at him in the playoffs all those years ago. Now, Tony Jones, who covers the Jazz for The Athletic, kind of switching gears in the trade talks here, says the Pistons and the Jazz are in on Mike Conley, Memphis point guard, veteran there, huge contract for the next two full seasons. And sounds like, according to Tony, that basically both teams, Utah and the Pistons, are offering their point guard and their first-round pick next year, that being Ricky Rubio for the Jazz and Reggie Jackson for the Pistons. And so we talk about the first-round picks. Obviously, the Pistons' first-round pick's a little better, but certainly with Utah, that point guard is not only better, but Ricky Rubio is an expiring contract, while Reggie Jackson, as we know, is on the books for $18 million next year. So do you take the lesser point guard with the better pick, or the better point guard with the worst pick? Or do you ask both teams to throw in some sweeteners to make the package for Mike Conley a little bit better? So for both teams, salary-wise, that wouldn't quite work, just player for player with the pick in there. So there need to be some add-ins. And when we're talking about the Pistons, you probably need to throw in something like John Luehr's contract. But then if you do that, that tilts it too much in Detroit's favor. So the big question becomes, do you throw in Luke Kennard to make that work? And obviously that is a big question for the Pistons' best young asset. So do you trade or lose Bullock and trade Luke? Well, there's not much to go around. Andre and Blake and Mike Conley at that point, with those two guys being riddled with their injury history as well. And if you trade that pick, obviously there's no easy way to find replacements this offseason other than the biannual exception and the mid-level exception that the Pistons have this summer. It's a tough call. It would certainly fall under the Tom Gora's win now directive. And would they be willing to part with Luke Kennard? Well, I mean, I would. I don't think he's that good. But yes, the Pistons do need someone to knock down threes somehow going forward, especially if Reggie Bullock's on the trade block as well. But maybe this could be the impetus to keep and sign Bullock this trade deadline, if you're looking at some kind of deal like that, go into the luxury tax for Mike Conley and Reggie Bullock going forward, and keep Bullock with his bird rights, and really go after it with a high payroll. I really could see the Pistons doing that. That's the scuttlebutt. That's the big, you know, rumor around the Pistons, that they do end up throwing John Luehr and Luke Kennard into that deal with the first round pick and Reggie Jackson, which gets two bad contracts off the books. But obviously contracts become kind of a moot issue with the Pistons, as you're taking on so much money with Mike Conley and what you already have committed to Blake Griffin and Andre Drummond as well. Now, speaking of Luke Kennard, kind of switching gears here, I was real harsh on Luke on Monday's show, and I have to give him some credit for stepping up. He had 14 points in 23 minutes on Monday, 2 of 5 from three, and he got 9 shots up in that time. So he's being aggressive, being that gunner that we hoped he would be off the bench. And he was a plus 22 in his time. So a real good game for Luke Kennard. In addition to the bench wing posse, the bench mob, as Langston Galloway called them after the game, alongside Stanley Johnson and Luke Kennard and Ish Smith and all, Zaza and those guys. Those three, Langston Galloway, Stanley Johnson, and Luke Kennard, in addition to Bruce Brown, they played 70 minutes and had just 6 points on Saturday against the Clippers. Against the Nuggets on Monday, those four guys combined for 87 minutes and 53 points. So obviously a huge improvement there. They combined to go 18 of 38 from the field, which is a percentage of 47 points. Obviously a great percentage for perimeter players there. So I consider my message sent to those guys as well. Again, taking all the credit for the Pistons' improvements there. And I send an even bigger message to an even bigger part of the team, and a bigger dude, really, in Andre Drummond. He was excellent on Monday, 27 points, 12 rebounds in 26 minutes. I want to be clear here that I'm not actually taking credit for this. This is a tongue-in-cheek thing on my part. But 12 for 14 from the field for Andre Drummond on Monday night, 6 offensive rebounds, 3 blocks. He took on the challenge of going up against an all-NBA guy at the fringes of the MVP discussion in Nikola Jokic, the Serbian. And Andre outplayed him. And look, you would have excused a down scoring night from Andre in this case, because he was defending one of the only dangerous players on the depleted Denver roster that night. But Andre rose to the challenge, and we see, again, in small doses, the coaching and the message, it's kind of sticking with him from time to time. Now, against the Knicks, a team that he should have a little bit of challenge, playing against a newly acquired Andre, or DeAndre Jordan, who made his New York debut on Sunday. By the way, Jordan may actually stay in New York past the deadline and past the buyout time, because Brian Windhorst of ESPN is reporting that he might actually be one of the carrots to try and get Kevin Durant in free agency, and that DeAndre Jordan might be possibly re-upping in New York as well. Apparently they're friends, and who knew? So, but anyway, hats off to Andre Drummond for submitting a night's performance on Monday. Will he suddenly become consistent with his effort and focus in year 7? Well, I'm dubious, as you might imagine, And of course, the sins of the past are not erased by one single game. Although Andre Drummond, just a lightning rod out there with Pistons fans and Pistons Twitter. We got his coyote-like defenders who are trapped in the corner, who are doing all they can to show that Andre Drummond is not only not the problem, and I'm not saying that Andre Drummond's the problem. Clearly, the Pistons have wing issues. Clearly, Reggie Jackson's been a huge problem for this team, too. If I had to rank the Pistons' problems, Andre Drummond would not be number one on it. But I would say he's among the problems in this team this season, especially given his max contract, $25 million a season right now. But is your company looking for a new way to reach customers? Your company could be mentioned right here, right now on Locked On Pistons. Podcast listeners are 60% more likely to interact with sponsors that they hear on their favorite shows. Numbers are through the roof right now here on the podcast during trade deadline season, and it will still carry over as the Pistons will be in the playoff hunt for at least the next several weeks as the season kind of winds down. Our demographics, by the way, are 98% males with more education and more earning power than traditional media audiences. So have your company sponsor this podcast. Go ahead and email me at Matt_Schoch, S-C-H-O-C-H, at yahoo.com to find out more. Now, next, we're going to be talking about the New York Knicks, suddenly an interesting franchise, a tanktastic team that the Pistons need to feast on for their next two games. That's next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day. Pistons headed to Gotham tonight, a 7:30 start, by the way, so a little bit later than we're used to with the Pistons starts. Therefore, a game with the New York Knicks, the first game of two for the Pistons at Madison Square Garden this season, and the first of a back-to-back with the Knicks that will continue on Friday at Little Caesars Arena. So the Pistons are blessed with three games left against the New York Knicks this season. The Pistons will also wrap up the season there at Madison Square Garden on April 10th, and I'll be interested, as you all will, to see if that game means anything for anyone for draft purposes for the Pistons, or maybe getting into the playoffs in Game 82, or possibly their own draft status if they fall short of the playoffs, or maybe seeding purposes if they get near that 6 or 7 seed if they get into the playoff picture as well. A lot of basketball to be played again till then. But look, I still say the Pistons aren't making the playoffs. I said that before since they lost that horrific game on Martin Luther King Day to the Washington Wizards. I'm still on that train right now despite the favorable look at the schedule, especially in the very short term. Now, maybe if the Pistons take care of business for these two against the Knicks and then beat Washington at home on Monday, kind of sweet poetic justice there. If the Pistons can go on a four-game win streak by winning these next three, couple that with the Denver win on Monday, a four-game winning streak. And as Lou from Major League says, it has happened before, right? So if they do that and they get on a little four-game winning streak, as improbable as that sounds after how badly this team has played in the past couple months, again, if they get that four-game winning streak together, I would probably flip and say the Pistons will get in the playoffs. So we'll see if that happens here in the next few days on Locked On Pistons. But the Knicks are on a 13-game losing streak. Wouldn't it be the so Pistons to beat the best team in the Western Conference, the number one seeds, snapping the Nuggets' six-game winning streak, and then the next night lose to the NBA's worst team, snapping their 13-game losing streak? That would be pretty disheartening for those of us who are following this team on a day-to-day basis. The Knicks have now lost 21 of 22. But as we mentioned, DeAndre Jordan made his debut on Sunday with his new team, teaming up with his old and new teammates with Dennis Smith Jr. and Wesley Matthews as they all made their debut for the Knicks in a loss, of course, to Memphis. But we know the Knicks and Phoenix and Cleveland and the Chicago Bulls all trying to get into that bottom three for the Zion Williamson sweepstakes. If you get in that bottom three, you got a 52% chance of getting in the top four. And the best possible chances of getting Zion Williamson, as I looked that up, 14% for those bottom three teams. And it goes down to 12.5% if you accidentally sneak into the number four spot. So those teams, the Knicks have the worst record in the league right now, but they're only 1.5 games behind Chicago in the standings. They're the fourth worst right now. So it feels like one of these teams maybe might get some wins, and maybe playing these teams later on won't be as much of a guarantee of a win. Because if you're sitting pretty in those bottom three spots, you would have less incentive to lose every single game. So interesting to see how the schedule falls with some of these tanking teams And, you know, obviously tanking teams isn't a guaranteed win. It looks pretty good. But this here right now, as these teams try to get a little bit of separation in Tankathon, is pretty much as good as you can get as far as times to play the New York Knicks on the schedule. Now, this team, since the Pistons have played them, obviously a lot different of a look. As the trade was made last week, they no longer have Michigan former players Tim Hardaway Jr. and Trey Burke, and obviously Kristaps Porzingis is gone as well, although hasn't been playing this year anyway because of the knee injury. But Kevin Knox, the young guy out of Kentucky, the rookie, he's starting now. They still have Mario Hezonja and Alonzo Trier off the bench as well. So, you know, interesting young talent, of the youngest team in the league. By far, some fun young players, but not anything close to resembling a good team at this point. David Fizdale has, you know, even said that publicly. What do you expect? What do you want from me? So look for the Pistons to need to win both of these games. I think that it just has to happen. You need to go on a streak. You need to take care of these bad teams. Vegas isn't that excited about the Pistons. I'm looking at the odds right now. Only anywhere from 2.5 to 3.5 point favorites, depending on what sports book you're looking at. So we'll call it 3. For now. So interesting to see how that will shake down, as you know, the 3-point deficit is basically, or the 3-point favorites is basically the equivalent of being at home. So basically calling the Pistons 6 points better than the New York Knicks. And then a lot of that has to do with the back-to-back situation that the Pistons are on right now. The Pistons, by the way, are 2-4 on back-to-backs, the second half of a back-to-back this season. But on Monday, the minutes were down for starters in the blowout against Denver. So, you know, to the victor in those big blowouts goes the spoils of not having to come back out late in the game in the fourth quarter. Reggie Bullock only played 26 minutes. Blake Griffin, probably a season low with 23 minutes for him. Andre Drummond played 26 minutes. Bruce Brown, 13 minutes. And Reggie Jackson got a nice break with 22 minutes. So you expect those guys to have as fresh a legs as possible, given that the second half of a back-to-back and plus the travel that goes along with that for the Pistons this week. But give us a follow on Twitter, by the way, at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. Also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. Check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons Matt Shook, and give us a rating and review on iTunes as well. Appreciate you guys. Appreciate the feedback. Appreciate you guys spreading the word as well. Here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, this is your host, Matt Shook, saying enjoy the game tonight, and we'll be back tomorrow with some more Locked On Pistons podcast.